Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17, The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son, Text Number 9. Vishvaya Vishva Bhavanasti Ti Samyamaya. Svaram Grihita Purushakti Gunaya Bhumne. Svastaya Shasvat Upavrim Hitab Purna Bodha. Vyapaditatma Tamase Hare Namaste. Vishvaya. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Was actually the entire universe. Vishva of the universe. Bhavanaha, creation. Stiti, maintenance. Samyamaya, and annihilation. Svaram, fully independent. Grihita, taking in hand. Puru, completely. Shakti Gunaya, controlling the three modes of material nature. Bhumne, the Supreme Great. Svastaya, who is always situated in his original form. Shasvat, eternal. Upabrahmita, achieved. Purna, complete. Bodha, knowledge. Vyapadita, completely vanquished. Atmatamase, the illusory energy of your lordship. Hariye, unto the Supreme Lord. Namahate, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you are the all-pervading universal form, the fully independent creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this universe. Although you engage your energy in matter, you're always situated in your original form and never fall from that position, for your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any situation. You are never bewildered by illusion. O my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Siddhanta Baliya Chitte Na Kara Alasa Iha Ha Ite Krishne Lage Srida Manasa. Anyone trying to become fully Krishna conscious must know the Lord's glories as far as are possible to understand. Here Aditi hints at these glories. The universe is nothing but the external potency of the Lord. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:4. Maya Tatamidam Saravam. Whatever we see in this universe is but an expansion of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the sunshine and heat, all over the universe are expansions of the sun. When one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he surpasses the influence of the illusory energy. For the Supreme Lord, being fully wise, being situated in the heart of everyone, especially in the heart of the devotee, gives one intelligence, by which one is sure never to fall into illusion. So the translation again. My Lord, you are the all-pervading universal form, the fully independent creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this universe. Although you engage your energy in matter, you're always situated in the original form and never fall from that position. For your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any situation. You are never bewildered by illusion. Oh, my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Here it explains about Krishna. One of Krishna's glories is this universe that we're in. Now, generally we don't think of the universe as Krishna's glory. We think of it as partly our glory, what kind of glory we can get in the universe. Not exactly our glory, the glory of this body, our mind, and our words, and we take it as ourselves, but actually it's part of Krishna's glory also, because we can't do anything without Krishna. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto matak smritira gyanam aponam cha. All we can do is desire, and Krishna will give us intelligence according to what we deserve to fulfill those desires, whether they be in devotional service or they be part of the three modes. In any case, the universe is made up of the three modes of material nature, and even our bodies are made of the three modes. Sattvam, rajas, tamayiti, guna, prakriti, sambhava, nivandanti, mahabaho, dehe, dehinam, avyam. That this body that we're in is consisting of the three modes, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. But above the modes is eternal time. And under the influence and the combination of the three modes and eternal time, the activities called karma come into being. Now, we can be above karma if we want to be. And the way of doing that is not to act under the three modes. Of course, above the three modes is devotional service to Krishna. So if Krishna is there, then we're not actually influenced by the three modes. If we're as much as we're influenced by Krishna, then we're not influenced by the three modes. As Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not under the control of Rahu, I'm under the control of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj certainly was under the control of Krishna, and we can to whatever we desire, whatever we can concentrate on Krishna, how much we can concentrate, then we come under Krishna's control. Other than that, there's always this tendency to become influenced by the three modes, especially that's evident, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udrapasa vegam. The tongue, the belly, the genitals, mind, anger, and words. This is influencing us, pushing us, saying that become a good servant and you'll be happy. Don't think, just do. But ultimately, even these pushings, this is just, since we're servants by nature, we have to be servants, so we have to serve something. If we're not serving Krishna, then we'll have to be occupied by our senses somehow or another. In the mode of goodness, then we're trying to use our intelligence. In the mode of passion, we're trying to utilize our having good feelings. Mode of ignorance, we just want to sleep. We want to have enough to eat so we can peacefully sleep. And if there is sex life, well, that's an extra bonus. And if we can defend, we have enough energy to defend, we'll try to do it. So these are the three modes. There's nothing beyond these, Krishna says, when you can see that there's nothing beyond these three modes, but the Supreme Lord, Nanyam Gunevyas Karataram, Drashteva Nupashiti, Gunebhyas chaparam veti madbhavam sodagachati. When you can see that there's nothing beyond these three modes in all activities, but the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then you can know my supreme nature. So this material existence that we're in is Krishna's pastime, to satisfy the whims of the conditioned soul, and we happen to be amongst them, so that we can imagine ourselves to be in some kind of pastime, like Krishna's pastime. Krishna's pastime has all the five rasas in it. So we like a little rasa with friendship, little rasa with parentalship, little rasa with servitorship, little rasa, conjugal rasa. Because nowadays, friendship is not as prominent. Matter of fact, none of these rasas are so prominent in modern civilization because of the influence of the mode of ignorance. The mode of ignorance, there is not so many rasas. Amongst the tigers, I don't know if there's so much friendship. They hunt in packs and things like that, but I don't know, you know, if they send each other birthday presents or anything. They're not so sentimental. You never see tigers shaking hands with each other as a deal friend. There's some conjugal thing but going on, but it's not very romantic. You never thought, oh, I love you, my dear lioness, you're so beautiful. It's kind of more impulsive than sentimental. So human society is becoming degraded. The bottom line is simply, you know, if I can get something to eat, I love you. If you can give me something to eat, I love you. It's kind of like a dog. Dog is your friend as long as you give it something to eat. And if you don't, he might eat you. So, but this is also Krishna's pastime. This is Kali Yuga. Without this kind of pastime, we'll never be able to appreciate how destructive and how undesirable is material existence. In Satyuga, practically no one has to work. The rains come automatically because of the pious activities of the people. The flowers grow, the grains grow, everything grows. You simply have to sit there and think of Krishna's pastimes, and everything is provided. The air is pure, carrying the aroma of all kinds of different aromatic plants. The breeze is refreshing. It's just the right temperature. Everything is so conducive. One lives for, at least in Satyuga, 100,000 years of our time. When you're 300 years old, you're still considered a child. Old age begins at 60,000 years. And still you have another 40,000 years to go. So, in Satyuga, people, they hear about birth, death, old age, and disease, and it takes a while to sink in. There's no economic problems. There's no pollution problems. If there's a war, most of the people don't fight in it. And it's all done according to certain rules and regulations. In other words, for the material world, it's ideal. And what to speak of going to the heavenly planets, or above the heavenly planets is Mahaloka. Above that is Janaloka, Tapuloka. And finally, Brahmaloka, where people live for 311,040,000,000,000 years in complete harmony. Every day, prasadam is just on time. Everyone can eat as much as they want because it's all so wonderfully prepared that everything gets nicely digested. It's just ideal. And if you go to sleep, you can go to sleep for, what is that? I guess 1,200,000 years. So you get a good rest. No one wakes you up because there's no one to wake you up because everyone else is asleep. So, Kali Yuga is the worst yuga, but it's the best yuga to getting out of the material existence. if we actually want not to just get out of the material existence, but to get into the spiritual existence. And part of that is to recognize that this material world is also Krishna's existence. Because in other yugas, when people are elevated, generally they just want to get out of the material world. But that's not sufficient. Just to get out of the material world, where do you go? You get into Brahman, which is kind of boring after some time. Although we can't imagine how nice it is there. But after a while, people do get bored. After some trillions of years, you think, is there another channel I can turn on to? Same, it seems like. But it's warm and comfortable there for a long time. So generally speaking, people, if they in the material existence, at some point, some people want to get out of it, but where they go to Brahman. That only when we can understand how this world is in relation to Krishna, and therefore develop a service attitude towards Krishna. Seeing the world as an opportunity, especially in Kali Yuga, as an opportunity to enlighten people about their relation with Krishna. In the heavenly planets, everyone knows they're Krishna's servant, but it's just too nice. It's almost like you're in prison, but it's such a nice prison, you don't want to get out. I gave the example in Denmark, the prisons are so nice that when one man was in prison, other prisons, like your room is perfect, you know, the meals are fantastic, whatever, according to their idea. You don't have to work very much. There's a television every prison cell. You have your own prison cell. Probably have a computer. You can play games all day long. It's just ideal. So one man was because they have a barbecue every Sunday, whatever that's worth. And one man was in the barbecue, and his brother decided to break him out of the prison. So he came in with a helicopter to bring him out of the prison. But the man refused to leave because he said, "This is Sunday, it's the barbecue day, I'm not going to leave." I don't know if his brother stayed for the barbecue or not, but anyhow, it was just so nice he didn't want to get out of the prison. So if one is in the heavenly planets, one may not want to get out of the prison of material existence because it's just too nice. Compared to other aspects of material existence, everything seems to be quite comfortable and ideal. And one actually feels he's actually controller of things. Here you tell someone to do something. Ishwara Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, when he was asked, "How many disciples do you have?" And he said, "I have 4. And the interviewer, the journalist, was very surprised. It seems you have thousands of disciples. He said, "No, all I have is 4 disciples, my 2 hands and legs, because they're the only ones who listen to me." But in the heavenly planets, you actually feel you're actually the controller. Although that's also an illusion, because when Krishna is the controller, he just manifests that control more exactly in the heavenly planets, because otherwise the whole universe would be even more of a mess than it's already in. So the sun has to come up at a certain time. The sun has to go down at a certain time. So therefore the sun god has to be more regulated than anyone else. Otherwise, we'd all be in more trouble than we're already in. Imagine if the sun didn't come up in the morning and someone tries to wake you up and says, "Get up." He says, "Oh, the sun's sleeping too. It's been a bad day. If the sun can sleep, why not me? I'll get up when the sun comes up." But it's not coming up for a few days. "Oh, it's all right. Wake me up when it comes up." It's a little cold out there without the sun anyhow. No, in Kali Yuga, it's obviously not ideal. There is only one problem after another. That if you want to find out the problems, then Just ask your friend. They'll tell you. They can sit down with hours and tell you their problems. And if that's not sufficient, just read the newspapers. Or ask someone else how you're doing. Or get a job as a psychiatrist. You'll be quite engaged. So Kali Yuga means that simply an ocean of problems, but these problems have an objective to help people become inspired to take the Krishna consciousness, to take shelter of Krishna, to understand what the root cause of the problem is. Simply, we've turned away from Krishna's instructions. Every single problem that we have here, practically speaking, is simply because we've turned away from Krishna. Krishna has an economic system, as I pointed out before, which has to do with protecting cows and bulls so that we can get nutritious food without the inconvenience of polluted air, contaminated water, and fighting with each other over the resources. Simple living. And the whole idea is relationships. That if we are not in anxiety over the resources of material existence, if they come quite easily and they actually satisfy our senses, then we won't fight with each other over the resources and we won't feel proud because we have more than we need. Then one can actually concentrate on something higher, namely the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all pleasure and all love and all glory, all beauty, all fame, all strength. We can actually concentrate on him and become fully satisfied. But when we simply throw Krishna out of the equation and we're struggling simply to maintain the existence of this body because we love this body as our worshipful deity, then the result is that we simply become more and more degraded. Then instead of hearing Krishna's talk about cows and bulls and protecting them, then we think that this is just insignificant. Why should I protect a cow and bull? It gives milk, but no one should drink milk. According to the latest scientific understanding, milk is poisonous to human beings. Alcohol, one cup of wine every day, helps your heart. And milk causes heart attacks. Air pollution gives you the necessary vitamins and different trace minerals like iron and magnesium and sulfur that you need. You can just breathe it in through the air pollution. And fresh air is very contaminating. Makes you cough up mucus and things like that. No one could live on pure air, on fresh air, because it doesn't contain all the trace minerals that we need, that the factories are providing, free. So Kali Yuga means lack of knowledge, lack of proper understanding, and ultimately not seeing things in relationship to Krishna. As soon as we don't see anything in relationship to Krishna, we see things according to the modes, and the modes will degrade. The less we see things in relation to Krishna, the less we follow Krishna's instructions, and then the result is that people become simply more and more in ignorance, more and more degraded, and activities simply cause more and more suffering and problems. So if we think we're in a problematic situation, or the world's in a problematic situation, all we do is have to find out what we're supposed to do for Krishna. We don't have to worry about changing the entire universe because we're not going to be able to do very much anyhow. All we do is have to find out what Krishna wants us to do. In order to do that, we have to see how things are related to Krishna so we know what Krishna's mission is. We know what his purpose is. Not necessarily we can know the whole world, but ultimately we have to know what Krishna wants us to do, how Krishna wants us to see things, how Krishna wants us to feel and think, what kind of mood Krishna wants us to be in. And if we discover these things and we try to implement them in our lives, then Krishna becomes more and more present in our life and then our life becomes successful. No matter what else is going on in the material world, it won't make, in one sense, we can become a better instrument to help, but ultimately, as Prabhupada said, that in the material world, everyone is thinking about how glorious it is, these selfless services, I don't know if they have the Salvation Army or the Heart Foundation or something like that, that these are considered very noble services to do. He said, but better than that is, rather than trying to save everyone else, first of all, we should try to save ourselves. That's the most important thing. Before we try to figure out how to save everyone else, we should try to figure out how to save ourselves. That probably is the highest occupation. Just making sure that we're Krishna conscious, then we can help everyone else. If we're drowning in the ocean, and we meet someone else drowning in the ocean, and we say, can I help you? Before I drown, could I do anything for you? Sure, can you give me an extra breath of air before we both drown? You're so kind. No better to be on the boat and pull people onto the boat from the boat than you can actually help people. Drowning in the ocean, it's very difficult to help anyone else, even oneself. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? And just as the most important thing is, we should be Krishna conscious. Then we'll know what to do to help ourselves and to help everyone else. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Maharaj. As you were speaking, I was thinking about what you said, that Kali Yuga is the worst age, but it's also the best age for becoming Krishna conscious and going back home, back to Godhead. So, and then at another point you said, we just have to find out what we have to do for Krishna and not try to change the world. But the point is, the world is in such a bad shape and the world is controlled by demons at the moment. So even as we try to become Krishna conscious, we have to also try in some way to change the environment to make it conducive for Krishna consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah, so the government is elected by the people, and if the people are demons, then the government will be headed by demons. Mm-hmm. So we should try to change ourselves from being a demon to a devotee, mm-hmm. so there will be one less demon.
Okay, thank you.
Other than that, ultimately the demons are meant to give people the reactions of their sinful activities. The leading demons give the other little demons the reaction to their sinful activities. So they're necessary. Because otherwise, unless they gave the reactions, the little demons would be encouraged to go on with the demoniac activities. So they need a little correction. The only people who can correct them are the other demons. Or the devotees can try to help the demons try to understand the value of Krishna consciousness. Those demons who are innocent, who are just being misdirected by bigger demons. So, but unless we're enlightened, how can we enlighten anyone else?
Right.
So it's not that we don't act as an instrument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but first of all, we have to make sure that we're part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So that we have Krishna can give us the intelligence how to encourage others to be part of the mission too. That if we don't have sufficient intelligence, then our effectiveness will be quite limited because right. We won't know how to deal with people in such a way as to inspire them to become Krishna conscious. We may have a good sentiment, a nice sentiment, which is good, but to try to help, but then we should also know how to help.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anything else? can't go because there won't be anyone else here to answer the questions.
No. There'll be plenty of people. They'll say, finally she's gone, so now we can ask, or something like that. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. The question, are the four yugas specific periods in material time, or are they states of consciousness?
No, there's time. There's three modes, and the three modes are constantly changing. But Krishna has divided them up into the seasons. Mm-hmm. Satya, Treta, Dwarapa, and Kali. So Krishna mm-hmm. has four seasons, mm-hmm. known as the... Just like there is a season, or it used to be a season called winter, mm-hmm. and then spring, and then summer, and fall. Mm-hmm. So those things are there, too.
Thank you, Maharaj. That's the only question online.
That's it. Here's another question. Pass the baton.
Hare Krishna, about living a simple life in nature, far away from city. I'm also interested about it in my life, but I could see I have a few friends who really live far away from city lives, and only one problem is they don't very often go to some preaching, traveling, Sankirtan, Harinam. They are far away from temple even. So how to combine these things together?
One doesn't necessarily have to combine them together. If one has contact with the city, one should be preaching. If one wants to raise a family, then there should be a program, a sadhana of everyone, even in the country, in the farm. But then the concentration should be on providing the necessities by farming and agriculture and raising the children in Krishna consciousness. Of course, it could be a mixture of that, but generally speaking, if we're actually having a farm community in order to practically for most of the year take care of it, requires some effort. You can't have a good sadhana, take care of your farming, take care of the family, at the same time engage in extensive preaching. That's for later on in life. But for those who live in the city, the purpose of the city should be either raise money for the preaching mission, or by preaching itself, if those who actually have the time to do it. Otherwise, what's the use of living in a city? What's the value of it? What is so exciting about a city? Except that you can walk to the park here. Otherwise, what's in the city that's so important to stay here? Unless we're preaching.
So, I mean, if we don't have a community, devotee community, it is a little difficult. Yeah.
Well, you can have it, yeah, of course. Without a devotee community, everything is difficult.
I mean, this friend of mine live alone. There is few neighbors, and that's all, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they have a morning program and an evening program, what they're doing. I don't know. But with that, generally our farm communities don't work so well because the spiritual element, which is the whole purpose of the farm community, to make life easier so you can engage in more peaceful sadhana. If the sadhana is not there, then so many rats live in farm communities. But they're not becoming Krishna conscious.
I mean, just a point for myself, if I go somewhere in nature, but alone without other devotees, it can be difficult.
Yeah. Well, there's so many deer and there's so many, foxes out in nature. What's the value? Why do we have to go out there? Get their association? We have a simple living, and we raise our children in Krishna consciousness, and the family is engaged in whatever is necessary for maintenance, which the farm provides, so that we can engage peacefully in Krishna consciousness. And if there's an opportunity for preaching, then of course, devotees living in the farm community, they preach to each other, they attend the program, and if they can preach to others, it's especially other householders, about joining the community, that's very nice. But the spiritual element has to be there, otherwise it's all a waste of time. Anything else? Kwala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.